Welcome to our listeners for this podcast, which is really a joint venture between ourselves, Cryptseers and Partners, an executive search company specialised in the energy, resources and infrastructure sectors, and Powerful Women. I'm pleased to be joined today by Sandy Verma. Sandy has had a high-profile career in government and is one of the founders of the Powerful Women Initiative. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you, Murray.
Of course, we're spending today talking about gender diversity, but of course the wider message here is that it's diversity of thought that really is what is adds value to business. And we look at the McKinsey reports over the years about, you know, attaching monetary value to having a more diverse thought process, and therefore having at a board level and in a senior discussions where it's a move away from more of the same to actually having to be and being able to challenge strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And what where you've seen evidence of more diverse boards, you've seen that those companies do perform better, their outcomes are better, their retention levels are better, and their bottom line is better. So it's a win-win all around. And I think part of the issues that we've got is, going back to what you said earlier, it's about not looking at people who have a wider range of experiences to bring to the table. And I think it's really important that, you know, when we're looking at expanding our diversity footprint, that inclusion really does take into account the different experiences that people will bring. Of course, you will have some jobs that need particular qualifications, but that doesn't eliminate people coming to senior management roles from other backgrounds, other sectors that don't also bring a particular balance to a company. And I think we miss out if we don't encourage, first of all, leadership, and it's really important that leadership buys into it, that leadership moves away from having people that look and sound like them to looking at a much wider pool. But it's also incumbent on search companies like yourself to widen their own pool, look at how they put forward names for people in management, middle, senior, exec, non-exec roles. Because I think that the bottom line is that, you know, we can actually fulfill our own prophecies of saying that there aren't enough people out there if we don't actually search enough for them ourselves.
If we think about the way in which men and women progress through their careers and the decisions that they take and the style in which they make those decisions, how there's a growing body of evidence to suggest that women take more counsel from peers, colleagues, family before making decisions, whereas men are more, let's say, have a higher risk capacity. Where do you think that sort of fits into being able to help promote and develop women?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think women tend to be much more consultative. They tend to want to seek out as many views and opinions as possible. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think men, on the whole, tend to seek less counsel, seek less opinion. But that's because they see decision-making as a role for them. And ultimately, since they are going to be responsible for that outcome, that decision, I suspect they feel that ultimately, the you know, it's down to them at the end of the process. I think it's often wiser to look at a broader view, but being a leader means that you take the broader view and then make the decision on the broader view. I think they are different styles. I think that it's good to have different styles. I think you'll see where there are boards where there is a good mix of people, that those boards tend to have better outcomes. And I think the evidence now is beginning to demonstrate those businesses that have taken on a much more inclusive reach have had greater returns and much better relationships within both the non-exec, the exec, and the senior management board. So I think there is much to be said for having a less, I wouldn't say risk-averse, but I would say a less masculine approach to decision-making.
And in recognising that there is different decision-making styles, being aware of that as you begin to encourage, promote women through your organisation.
And believing, you know, I've managed businesses from a very early age. And what I found was it's much easier when you take people with you and when you explain to people what you want as an outcome, rather than say, this is what we're doing, this is how we're going to do it, and you have to run with it. And, you know, I think many, many mistakes have been made in many sectors simply because the opinion of a wider pool of people hadn't been sought. And so I think it's up to us, those of us who enjoy being in leadership positions, to be able to feel confident enough that taking on other people's opinions and views doesn't actually belittle our own leadership quality.
And coming back to your point right at the beginning about powerful women supporting women, particularly through the middle phase of their career, there's probably a responsibility here in understanding from their managers that this different style managers need to move away from, maybe we can call it sort of subconscious paternalism, in order to actually push women out of their comfort zone to progress further.
Yeah, but I think it's a journey that starts very early on in life. I think, you know, we've got to be able to encourage people, both men and women, to know that when they are taking on decisions, that behind it, if you fail, it doesn't matter. And I think the fact that, you know, women tend to deliberate much more, tend to consult much more, doesn't mean that they're not confident in their outcomes, but because societal pressures make us feel that we have got to be you know, right all the time, stops us from sometimes saying, let's take the risk, and if it fails, it really doesn't matter. I mean, failure should be part of our learning. And I think that's where we often find there is a big difference on approach between how maybe men take a decision and how women sometimes won't approach a role that they see coming up, simply because they don't feel that they're ready, that they're prepared. And it's this big confidence problem. And I think we all have got a role to play, whether it's through education, whether it's through the way we support people as they come into entry point, and then how we support them all the way through. So when they do have those family, the breaks for family or for caring for parents, that we allow the systems to enable them to keep in contact with their employees, employers, the workplace, so that they don't feel that they're at a disadvantage when they have to re-enter. So I think there's a lot of things that need to be done, but I think society itself needs to recognise that, you know, men and women have now got very different roles to what it was, you know, a couple of decades ago. And we've got to put the systems in place to support those changing environmental roles.
Sandy, thank you very much for joining us today. Fascinating to listen to you. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you very much. Thank you.